listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, you kids and grannies and you cats and gators, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations. I always start up my shows, guys, with a little plug for the station. I know that any financial help that you could render would be much appreciated, even a couple bucks, a cup of coffee. If you could send it their way, the operators would much appreciate, like I said, any kind of support they can get. Always good to be with my friend here, Roger Landry, and I'm going to let him go here in a second. But before he gets going, I better get a couple words in, because if I don't get him in now, I don't know if I will. And that's my couple words. Okay, Roger, there, you're good to go. How are you doing, my friend?
I don't know.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. You are, it's always good to have you back, my friend. And I know we've seen some pretty crazy stuff go on here in the last 10 days that be an understatement that says it's got our hair up in kind of shackles right now. But we had a little chat before the show started, and let's carry on with that conversation as to where you think this is going to go in the next little while. Of course, we're talking about the theft of the election in the States. Welcome back, my friend Roger.
First off, I would tell you that we're still being told in America that there's no proof of any massive theft going on. There was no proof of any massive fraud. As a matter of fact, this stuff happens. This is normal. It happens every election. It's just it doesn't happen on a scale that can actually tilt the election. So basically, we know there's fraud. There wasn't any more than the usual is. So just shut up and go away, because you're not going to do anything. You're not going to change it. We've already made sure of that. Joe Biden is the president. Now, if you are the average American and you are so steeped in programmed ignorance, it's insane. And I'm not knocking these people, because this is an intentional motivation. If we are all believing exactly what we're supposed to believe, we are an easily malleable society. And America has become that. And so has Canada. And so have most nations that we call the free world, which is a little bit of a misstep in that term as well. But or the Western world, it is literally – okay, literally shut up and just go with it. I'm not joking. But the thing of it is, you had a basic movement start up about 4.5-5 years ago. And that movement was predicated on the audacity and the wishes and the patriotic, I got to give him that, the patriotic flowering or fluffiness or acceptability of Donald Trump. Now, what we need to understand is, why did all of this happen? Because Trump ran for president. My God, we're talking about a major shift in the politics of the planet have happened in the last year.
Roger.
No.
Excuse me? Do you mind if I ask you something?
Sure.
A lot of us knew back in 2000 that George W. Bush Jr. or George Bush Jr. Stole that election. I know the entire base didn't know, but, you know, that was 20 years ago. Why?
King and Chad's?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I mean,
yes.
You know, the left howled like banshees about that, but it didn't get, I mean, nothing was to do about nothing. So why 2016? Was it just Trump or just a Republican or just manipulation?
How about yes? That is the proper answer to what you just asked me. It is yes. If you stop to consider everything that's going on right now, okay, if, and this is, there is more proof coming out every single day that what happened in Washington, D.C. in the Capitol building was done by individuals that were there with the intention, and some of them were even paid with the intention to cause trouble and blame it back on the Trump individuals who were, and in most cases, trying to stop it. There's actual videos of Trump people in the Capitol building telling these provocateurs, don't do that. No, we don't want you to do that. And in some cases, literally forcibly dragging them away from what would be an altercation. But none of that ever hits the news. None of it. What you need to understand is the amount of violence that was seen in the Capitol building is 0.1% of any one of the 38 major, okay, riots, violent riots that killed people, that literally, no, I'm not talking about people that got killed by accident, like in the Capitol, or the woman who got shot by an idiotic policeman in the Capitol building when she wasn't even close enough to be any danger to anybody. What we're talking about is apples and oranges. If the Democrats do it and they destroy billions, listen to me, billions of dollars of private business, businesses that are owned by you and me and not the big people, okay? These are downtown businesses destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And if you got in their way, you were maimed if you weren't killed. And we're talking about billions of dollars worth of damage in multiple cities across the United States. But those were mostly peaceful protests. But if you get these people going into the Capitol, what did they actually destroy in the Capitol besides a couple of windows that were broken? And those, I will be able to prove shortly, were actually broken by paid provocateurs, not by Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. So if you compare the two of them, what we are seeing is for one brief and comparatively speaking, relatively nonviolent skirmish as compared to over 40 destructions of the downtown of major cities across the United States. They will hound every one of these Trump supporters till the end of the earth to drag them through court and send them to prison for anything they can lie about or anything they can falsely accuse them of. But at the same time, even the rioters that were arrested in all of these big riots across America, even when they were arrested, they were released without the need for bail. They were just released, knowing for a fact that a big chunk of them were literally piped in from out of state to take part in these riots and were being paid to do so. We've all heard the stories about, I don't know, pallets of bricks that were strategically placed overnight so that when the riot happened the next day, you got some bricks to throw and they're in the right place to throw them. None of this comes to anybody's mind when they start talking about the massive riots that almost destroyed the entire United States in the Capitol building, which is the biggest lie ever told. If you take a look at what is going on in this country, what you are finding out is the 85 million people, or it might, I think it might have been almost 88 million, that were following Trump on Twitter, the 80 million plus that voted for him for president, and I could go on and on. These people aren't going away. They've freaking had it, and they're not going away. So anybody who thinks that Trump, who has been literally and unconstitutionally and illegally removed from the presidency in a coup, absolute fact by definition, in a coup in the United States, and this is not the first time this has happened, and as we were discussing prior to the show, ask Baby Bush about that. Let's talk about some hanging chads, people. Okay? Mm. Yeah. This is not the first time. But it is the first time that the American people have stepped up to say, this ain't right. This is all bullcrap. And we're not going away. I need to explain something to you. Trump will not retire. He's 74 years old. He should have retired a long time ago. He's got money out the yang. He should have retired a long time ago. He's not going to. He has no intentions of retiring. If anything, he intends to form a new party. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm not sure that'll happen. And it's not because he can't do it. He could do it very easily. What it will do, though, is it will split the conservative vote, even if the majority go to Trump. It will split the conservative vote so that in elections going forward, the effectiveness of the Republican / conservative or independent vote is going to be so watered down that we may never win another presidential election again. And this has been discussed as the intent of everything we've been discussing in the first place, is to absolutely make it so that no Republican will ever be elected president in this country again.
Not just president, but senator and Congress too.
No, senators and Congress are local races. So they are much more determined on the voice of the people. And election fraud may be still not quite so great in the big cities, but it's not quite as bad, because if you take a look, Trump lost. But the Republicans gained how many houses in Congress? They made up a big chunk of the difference between what they had and what the Dems had. Okay, so again, local politics, not so much, but to a degree, you're right. But nowhere near as much as getting a president elected. And I'm going to tell you something else, okay? I honestly believe that there are some leaders in this country, and these would be military leaders, who have absolutely had it, who have been looking at the treason unfolding in front of their faces for about a dozen years. And I know it goes way back, especially, you know, to the beginning of the century. But at the same time, all of this has accelerated since the beginning of the Obama days. And it has accelerated every year since then. And once Trump got into office, it accelerated at a pace that we're seeing today. We're looking at one thing. I just published a meme today. And that meme, to me, says so many things in so few words. So I'm going to pull this thing up, and I want to read this to the audience, okay? The meme I just published has a picture of Joe pouting. And on it, it says, for all of you Biden voters, because we actually published a couple of articles today about Biden people on Twitter realizing the mistake they made and telling everybody they're sorry. Go to Twitter and look. Not a joke, yep. Okay?
Yep.
Go to the Liberty Beacon and look at the article. But here's what the meme says that I made. For all of you Biden voters who are starting to fret what you have done to this country, you're wrong. Your vote did not elect Sleepy Joe. As was abundantly proven, that's the deep state's accomplishment. And this is tearing America apart intentionally. There can be no global government or global governance until America falls. Look around you and understand who Joe really works for. Here's a hint. It's not you. Joe is a member of the globalist team. Joe doesn't have a brain to think for himself worth a crap. If you listen to Joe shooting from the hip when he's talking to a crowd, the last video, the latest one you can get a clip of, his latest oops, was where he's poking a union man who's wearing a hard hat. He's poking him in the chest and telling him, I don't work for you. You want to know something, Joe? Yes, you do.
That was back.
You do work for him.
Wasn't that back last fall or something? Last summer?
No, he just did it again.
Oh, he did? Okay.
That's 15 minutes now, Roger. Do I get to say anything yet, or am I still in my corner?
I can always hang up. You can have the rest of the show to talk.
No, I'm just kidding, buddy. I'm just kidding. I want you to keep talking, Roger, but I do want to say a couple things, but now I forgot what I was going
to
say.
All anyway, you have to do is say, matter. Yo, Rog, let me in.
Rog. Hey, Roger. Yeah, buddy. It's really hard to believe, you know, I've gone through, like everybody else here in the last couple of weeks, an emotional roller coaster, Roger, where I honestly believe that the judicial system, there was enough good people left in the judicial systems in the states to put a stop to this theft. When that didn't happen and he became inaugurated, of course, I was ready to just about scream like the rest of the country. But I believe there's something very, very a lot deeper than we're seeing on the surface going on right now. That I don't believe that Joe Biden is going to be the president of the United States for a very long time at all. And I hope I'm correct, and I hope some of the information I'm getting is correct. But lots of chatter right now about military involvement, Roger, and you talked about it. So let's carry on that.
Barry, I'd like to ask something before you do that, Barry, to Roger.
Okay, Steve.
What do you think about this talk here in the last little bit about Trump restoring the republic back before the pre-1871 act?
What do I think? I think the first thing we need to do is put him in a position where he can do something like that. And do I think that that is a possibility? Yeah, I do. But you're probably going to find that that's coming from somebody's wish list. Do I think that's a possibility? Again, I said, yes, I do. But at the same time, the priority here is to put someone into a position where that's even a possibility. And in order to do that, what do we have to do? We've got to take Biden and Kamala out of power. Now, I've already stated on this show at least once, if not several times, that I don't believe Joe Boy is going to last very long. Joe Bob is going down. And Joe Bob's going to go down as soon as he says the wrong thing or as soon as he starts acting stupid in front of live crowds, which isn't going to take very long. And when that happens, that's what the 25th Amendment is for. It was never for Trump. And anybody who thinks it was, you're wrong. Impeachment is much more effective, and they're still running impeachment, except that what they have to understand is if you really read the Constitution and you really read the laws – impeachment is only for a sitting president. Trump isn't a sitting president. End of story. So what we're looking at here is can this be done in a legal fashion? Can we remove Joe? Because believe it or not, Arizona and a couple of other states, including Pennsylvania, are still working on vote counts. They're still working on it. Yes. Maricopa County right now has finally agreed that they're going to let their machines be audited. What happens if 2 months from now, all of a sudden, it is made abundantly clear to the world that Trump was right, all of us were right, and Biden didn't win the election?
So what happens at that point, Roger? What kind of legal recourse could happen? Because I believe if they actually get these vote counts done properly in these states, you know, and I know that they will be flipped to Trump. What can happen at that point, seeing Joe's already sitting in the Oval Office? What can happen?
What can happen at that point? Absolutely nothing. The reason being is that Trump, in order to maintain harmony in this country, conceded. He didn't go to the to the inauguration. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. But by not contesting it, by not saying I will not give up the office, all of these things that everybody expected him to do. But you need to understand, he sits in a whole different world than we do. If a president refuses to give up power, that president can be taken out by force. Okay, absolutely. And since the electors had already been counted and Joe Biden had been declared the winner, regardless, because we have, and everybody here on this call, this show knows what I'm about to say, we have a judiciary in this country that is scared of their own shadow. They were overheard all the way up to and including the Supreme Court, okay, where the head dude is hollering and they're hearing this in the antechamber outside where the secretary sits, okay? Roberts is screaming at the two new people who were just put in by Trump, you ain't going to do nothing. Because what about the violence that's going to come back on the Supreme Court if we do this? We can't do this, and you're going to shut up and do what you're told. So basically, what we found out was that the biggest and most powerful court in the United States was afraid of riots outside of their doors. So they sold the American people down the river. If Roberts would have taken the case from Texas, which he should have, which the Supreme Court should have taken, and any legal expert will tell you they should have, none of this would have happened. But once they refused it, they set a precedent for every single freaking court below them. What we are looking at and what this all combines on are two possibilities. One we talked about before the show and one we didn't. Let's start off with the one we didn't talk about before the show, okay? And that is that Joe stays where Joe is, and that as soon as they can, because they're looking for it, find a good excuse that the public will accept to retire Joe, okay, via the mechanism of the 25th Amendment, retire Joe and put Kamala in office. Mm. Now you've got a woman of color, you've got a woman, period, and you've got somebody who everybody said had no way of getting elected. Let's face it, she was running for president. She didn't even get through the first round of debates before she backed out because her performance was so bad that nobody wanted anything to do with her. But yet, she's the vice president, and you want to get, I'll guarantee you that if this is the path we have to continue down, within a year, she will be the first female president of the United States and Joe will be retired. That's the first possibility. And if that stays for the next 4 years, let's talk about what's already happened. They've already put us back into the Paris Accords, okay, which means that we're going to start losing money. They shut down the pipeline coming from Canada. Okay, yep. Which is about, 22,000 jobs in Canada, and I don't know how many in America, gone. Yep. Which means the price of oil in the United States is going to start going right back up to the $4 and $4.50 that we were used to before Trump got in there. But you know what? Joe Boy's doing that for his buddy Bob's. And you know what? Screw every American out there that's going to have to go from $2 a gallon to $4.50 a gallon. He don't give a damn about you. He just doesn't. And it's like he told that poor miner, I don't work for you. But the problem here is he absolutely does work for us. Each individual American is his boss. Now, is one voice going to change what he does? No. But a bunch of voices put together, that's supposed to work. It won't work with this contingent. It will not work with Joe Biden. It won't work with Kamala. And by the end of that 4 years, America is going to be broke on its knees, and one world government is going to be a hell of a lot closer. It was set, right after World War II, it was stated We need to bleed America because they knew our economic engine was powerful. We need to bleed America for every buck we can get from them. Then they need to go to their knees. We will not be able to bring in a one world government or global governance if America has not been taken to her knees first. Look around you. What the hell do you see? I'm going to tell you something. People in Canada, I'm going to tell you something. People in America, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is not a time to be passive. And I'm not asking you to do anything violent. I'm asking you to bring your voice to bear. I'm asking you to do research and call the people who govern you, whether it's local, city, state, province, or national. I'm going to tell you right now, in 3 or 4 years, if we sit back and do nothing, the America and the Canada we're going to be living in, you wouldn't want for your kids. But you will be just as responsible for it as they are because you did nothing. This is the most dangerous time in Canadian and American history that any of us can remember or have any knowledge of. There is not a more dangerous time in modern history than there is right now. And it depends on we the people. It doesn't depend on the government because the government's corrupt and controlled. It doesn't depend on the corporations because the corporations own and control the government. So who does it depend on? Who does the future of North America depend on? It depends on Barry. It depends on Steve. It depends on me and everybody listening to this show. And if you decide that you're just a little bit too busy or you just really don't think it's your purpose to do anything like this, then the next time you come anywhere near me and start to complain, I'm going to come right up to your face. I'm going to stand 2 inches away from you and stare right into your eyeballs. And I'm going to say, so what the hell did you do to stop it?
Absolutely, Roger.
That's where we are. Sorry, Barry, but I am not happy.
I share your passion. I share your anger, Roger, because we are, like you said, we're at a pinnacle point right now. And the problem is that, you know, in Canada here, so many people are still walking around with their heads in the clouds that, you know, in the clouds, put their head down looking at their Game Boy. But basically, buddy, it's in Canada, I could put information in front of people, hardcore information all the time, and I do. And it's just like they do not even want to look at it, whether it's truth or not. They don't want to look at it. We have a real problem here, buddy. We do. The level of cognitive dissonance in Canada, and the people just don't want to look at actual information. I see, you know, right here in Terrace, I lost a friend yesterday, a lady I've been doing business with for years, Roger. We can't talk anymore because she doesn't want me around the store because I'm anti-mask, that I won't conform to rules and regulations, that I'm not allowed to come in her businesses anymore. Yet I've been consigning stuff in her shop for years, and now we've had to part paths over a virus that is a nothing burger. Over masks, we're parting paths. She won't listen. She won't listen to any information, Roger. I try and tell her, you know, just go to the website and look and tell me if any of these masks have any effect on this virus per se, any of them. And I will shut up and I'll put a mask on. But of course, they're not even going to go that far. And I will. If you can prove to me it has any effect at all, Roger, I'd be glad to put one on because I want to do my part.
All right. But remember what you just said, okay? Because I can go right now. I can go to the Liberty Beacon and I can come up with an article that fits that billet. I
saw that article.
Absolutely. Okay, you did see it. All right.
I saw it and I read it. My question, Roger, how do you ever sleep? Because I went to the Liberty Beacon today and I see all kinds of new articles that you put up today. When do you sleep?
I sleep 5 to 6 hours a night and I work 18 hours every day. The article that Barry and I are talking about is called, and it's on the libertybeacon.com.
Go read it.
It's called 20 Reasons Mandatory Face Masks Are Unsafe, Ineffective, and Immoral. And if you read that, they will give you 20 points with reference links on all of them so that you can go and see exactly what this is all about. Now, I have to say one more thing here, okay? I have to, because if you stop to consider what I just said, there needs to be a reason for this. And this is on the featured image I made up for the article, okay? This is that comment. One might suspect that the only political reason for enforcing the measure of mask wearing is to foster fear. Fear, let me tell you what fear is, people. Fear is the most effective mechanism ever devised by man's mind to control mankind. End of story.
Can I add something also?
Nothing works better than fear. Even bribery doesn't work better than fear. If I tell you I'm going to give you $1,000 if you do something, and you get a big smile on your face and you say, well, hell, I could probably do that.
Can I add something?
If I look at you and I've got a gun in my hand and I say, you've got 15 seconds, do it or you're dead, how much more motivation do I have there?
Hang on a second, Roger. Can I add something here?
Sure.
It's about 4 months back. I caught a video. I think she was probably an English woman or an Irish woman. She had just walked out of a store or something, and she was crying her eyeballs out, and she said that she met an older man outside the store, and he thanked her for smiling at him. And she said, he said it had been 6 months since he had seen somebody smile coming out of that store. He had gone to that store for years and years just to say hi to people and see them smile. And he said, I'm just waiting to die now because I can't see smiles anymore.
Well, that's just one of the effects it's having on society, Steve. You know, covering your face is when people, one of the most important things as humans, we want to look at each other's mouths because that's how we express our feelings and our emotions to people is through our mouth. And of course, they want to mask that up. I mean, this is just absolute bullcrap, the psychological effect that's having on people. We could talk about that for another hour. It's just off the scales everywhere. No. Go ahead.
Let's peel that layer back just a little bit further, okay? Why are we being told? And I can give you scientific proof. I just read you the title to one of the articles. Okay, I can give you scientific proof that masks not only don't work, but they do more damage to us than if we never wore them. That's an absolute 100% popcorn fact, not a guess. Masks do more damage to you than they will ever help you. That is an absolute fact. These are doctors stepping up to say masks are causing physical harm to millions of people across the planet. And it is so subtle, okay? I need to ask you guys a question. When you walk into a store, whether it's Canada or the United States, and you see that person with the handkerchief over their mouth, okay, and their nose, and you walk into another store and you see somebody with a scarf over their mouth and their nose, and you walk into another one and you see, and I could go on. These are accepted. They're accepted by the people who are supposed to be at the door making sure you wear a mask. Let me tell everybody listening something here, okay? The holes, the pores in between the threads on a cloth mask are so big when you consider the size of what a virus may be, because I really don't think there is virus here, but the actual true size of the virus, if that was true, it would be like putting a BB through a hole the size of the frickin' moon. So if you think that a cloth mask, if you think that a handkerchief, if you think that a scarf over your mouth and nose is protecting you, you're an idiot. But yet, you're doing what they want you to do. You've got your tail between your legs and you're saying, I'm playing nice. Can I do this? I've got my mask on. Can I come in and buy some? I've got my mask on. Can I get on the bus? I've got my mask on. But who's going to stop and tell you the mask you have on does not protect you or anybody around you? You need to get a real mask. Nobody says that. Nobody says that in Walmart. Nobody says that in any big store. You want to know why? It has nothing to do with wearing a mask. It has nothing to do with protecting you. It has everything to do with you being a good little doobie and doing what you're told. And how do they know you're doing what you're told? Because you've got a mask on.
It's called compliance, Roger. That's all it is, my friend.
Well, that was
and
my
along
next
is coming the vaccine is next. Yeah, of course. And, of course, this will lead into the vaccines and tracing apps and what's going to be next. I mean, they're going to be doing facial recognitions. They're going to, you know, full lockdowns in society. We see that happening in Canada right now. Ontario's in a full lockdown. Roger, you can't go to your house. You can go to your house for an essential. That's it. You can go to your house to go to the grocery store. Besides that, you've got to stay in your house at home. What? And this is Canada? Come on, folks.
Oh, Canada's probably...
We're in trouble.
I don't know. Probably one of the least affected major countries when it comes to this virus across the planet. I don't know. Well, no, you guys are, okay? What I'd like to talk about, all right, what I'd like to talk about is all of these deaths that we're having from COVID-19. All of these deaths. And let me explain something else to you, okay? And I'm segueing into the vaccine here, but we need to start with this, all right? Let's take a look at the major surge. Now that Joe Biden's been elected, the major surge in COVID cases, okay? We've got to do 100 days of wearing masks. I just got done telling you that's absolutely ineffective, totally, 100%, and does more harm to the wearer than it does good to anybody else. But that's what they're going to tell you. For the next 100 days, you have to wear a mask because if you don't, you're unpatriotic and you're trying to kill your neighbors. Stop and think about everything we've just said, okay? There is no flu this year. There is no pneumonia this year or any other rampant this time of the year breathing, you know, whether I have bronchitis, whether I have everything now that's respiratory is COVID-19. Even though every year we have between 35 and 50,000 at a minimum cases and deaths from flu. It doesn't exist this year. Or there may be like 300 or 400 cases, not 35 to 40,000. Where did it go?
Where did it go, man?
Okay. So now we've got everybody scared crapless, and we've got to go into another basic lockdown for another 100 days. Everybody's got to wear masks. You need to destroy the entire economy for what they're trying to get to work works. You need to absolutely destroy the economy, but you don't destroy the Walmarts, and you don't destroy all of the big chain, the big box businesses that basically own and control and run the world. What you destroy are the mom and pops. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. Why do we want to get rid of all the small and the mom and pop businesses? Why do we want to do that? It doesn't make any sense. Unless you're sitting at the top. Because once you get rid of all of what they consider to be the chaff in the middle and lower levels, then anything you need to get from them. There's already talk and there's already action on COVID passports. There's already talk and already action on whether or not you get the vaccine, whether you get social points or not. And those social points will allow you to do this and not allow you to do that, so on and so forth. Right out of the CCP book in China. Right out of their book.
Right out of there.
And this is exactly where we're headed. That's not a joke. It's not a guess. It's an absolute fact. What we end up with by the time Joe Biden and Kamala are done with us, what we end up with is a bunch of people who live at the mercy and at the behest of the government. We do what they say, when they say, and how they say it, or we don't get anything. Why do I know that? Because there's no place to get a job. They've driven them all out of business. Take a look at how many small and medium-sized businesses are going under each week in both Canada and the United States. Take a look. They'll never come back. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of them. If we do this for another 3 or 4 years, we're going to be living in a country where if the government says, jump, you don't say how high. You ask when you can come down. Because if you don't, you don't get anything from them. There's no place to get a job. There's no way to support your family. You have to live at the behest of the government. Now, everybody out there is thinking, Roger's really taking this really far, isn't he? Let me ask you a question. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. If I had told you 6 months ago what's happening today, wouldn't you have been every bit as skeptical as what I'm saying about what might happen 6 months or a year from now? We are in totally uncharted territory, and we have the most powerful organization on the planet, the elitist caste, which controls all of the money, all of the money on the planet. No, that money isn't yours in the bank. They control all of the money. And what do they wish? They wish to have us under their thumb. They wish to trim about 90 to 95% of us down so that we are a controllable crowd at that point. And what will we be used for? We will be used for servicing those elites who felt all along it was their right to own and run this planet. This has been in the cards since the beginning of the 1700s. The reason the elites have accelerated their plan today, and I've said this on your show before, Barry, is because of technology. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm taking a breath.
What? No, you're not allowed to. You got 20 minutes left. You can't stop, Roger. I don't pay you the big bucks to take breaks, buddy. No, I'm all okay, joking.
All right, aside. All right, all right. That's the third time you said you don't pay me the big bucks. I'm just waiting to see Mr. Biden. Barry, when these big bucks are going to show up?
Buddy, didn't you get the check in the mail? I sent you a check. It's in the mail.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Roger, we've got to make a little humor of this because it's not really something we should be laughing about, but we have to laugh about it a bit because, you know, you're spot on and everything you said in the last 15 minutes. If people don't take this to heart, folks, if you don't take what he just said to heart, then I don't know what to say to you because it does sound crazy, but it's not. We look at everything they're doing right now. They're funneling us into a one world system. We could talk about the push for cashless. We could talk about the push for the RFID chip. We could talk about the push for vaccines. We could talk about all these different aspects. But what they're doing, folks, is like Roger's pointing out, is they're funneling us into a situation where you will not have a choice about where you can go buy your pair of shoes, where you go buy your groceries, where you go buy anything in society. In Canada, Roger, we've lost 250,000 small businesses since the onset of this scamdemic. 250,000 businesses. Out of those 250,000 folks, half of them are guaranteed are never going to open up again. So what Roger's pointing out is what they're doing by destroying small business base is they're funneling us into a situation where the big box giants will control everything that we do, buy, or sell. Go ahead, Roger.
What you and I had a discussion on this show about a month and a half ago where I said that anybody who believes what we're headed for is communism, you're a moron. Anybody who believes what we're headed for is socialism, you're an idiot. Okay? And I'm not talking about anybody personally, so don't take it personally. I'm talking about groups as a whole because this isn't what's happening. Okay? Socialism is basically an autocratic government. It's basically something that's run supposedly an institution run to benefit every citizen equally. We're not looking at that. We're not looking at communism. We're not looking at socialism. We're looking at a corporatocracy.
Right.
And in a corporatocracy, the people at the top, the people who own these big box stores, the people who own the Amazons, the people that own – these people will literally be the rulers of this planet. I'm not joking.
That's fascism.
The Bill Gates, the Bezos.
Yep.
These will be the leaders.
Roger, can I add something else, Roger?
Sure.
It was about 2 years ago. I'm sure it was all over the country, but Jeff Bezos started building the – Amazon distribution centers.
You mean the one where the unions right now have to do wanted to do a mail-in and he said no, you've got to do a freaking in-person vote, even though he didn't support that for the national presidential election? Is that what you mean?
No. The distribution.
Well, that's what just happened.
Yeah, okay. I understand that, but 2 years ago he started to build distribution centers all over the country, and there was one started about, I think, March or April of 2019 around my area, and it got finished about August of 2019. Maybe it was 3 years ago. He started them. And the one around my area got finished in August of 2019. That was probably close to, you know, 6-7 months before this hit. And everything has been pretty much Amazon delivery or UPS or FedEx or something. You nearly can't buy anything anymore in stores because they don't deliver to stores anymore. They want the home delivery like you just mentioned. You know, that indicates to me that there was a aforementioned knowledge of this coming.
It absolutely was. And again, this has been planned for years, not months, not weeks. This has been in the planning for years. They've actually done dry runs on it. Okay. And there's actually articles that you can find on the internet stating this. But if you stop again, let's stop to consider what Bezos has done. Okay. This guy who is supposedly it's between two people right now, but right now they're saying he's the richest man in the world, which is not true. It isn't. They don't want you to know how much the Rothschilds are worth. But believe me, the Rothschilds are by far – they probably have more money than all the billionaires combined. But Bezos, when this election was so dramatically stolen, okay, and there's so much proof, and it's inevitable – okay, one day some court's going to have to take it up. And as soon as they do, they're going to have to say, you're right, this did happen. This is what we're talking about, okay? But this guy was 100% behind the mail-in ballots. 100% behind it because of COVID-19. 100% behind it because it would save lives. And, oh, I could go on and on. Right now, in one of those centers you're talking about, they have a big decision that has to be made within the next couple of days. And that is whether or not to unionize. Okay. Now that requires a union or a membership vote or a vote of the employees within that area. And it may even be involving more areas across the country, but this is, the article is based on this one center. And what did Bezos say? He said, because they were going to do this by mail-in ballot. He said, no, no, no. He said, mail-in ballots leave too much room for fraud. Too much room to send a vote in a direction it shouldn't have gone in. The only way to protect the people is to have them come in and do a ballot. Okay, hold on a second. That is what he says when it comes to him having to pay union wages going forward, but not what he said when the biggest example of election fraud ever to have existed was blatantly put on the front stage for the entire world to see. So basically what we're seeing here is exactly what me and Steve and Barry have been telling you, okay? If it has to do with you and me, we can be screwed. It's okay. That's not a problem. It's good for us. If it's something that has to do with Bezos' wallet, oh, no, we can't do that. That's not safe. That's conducive to vote rigging. This is, again, an article published on the Liberty Beacon today. You guys ought to just at least once a day stop by there, because all of these things I talk to you about with confidence, and I have no compunction whatsoever about anybody challenging me on anything that comes out of my mouth. I have no problem with that. I'm not going to sit here as angry as I am, speaking as loudly as I can, and over-talking my friends simply because I think something may be true. I'm 67 years old, and I spent 30 years working for these people inside the U.S. government, working for the military-industrial complex. I'm not an idiot. And I definitely know what goes on behind the scenes. So when I talk to you guys with this much emphasis and this much anger, we're in trouble. And we are. And the only way we're going to get out of trouble is for everybody listening in Canada and everybody listening in the United States to realize we're at the point where it's now up to you. Not the government. Not the doctors. Not any of them. It's up to you. Because if you don't step up, then shut up.
Nobody's coming to our rescue, folks. Nobody.
Nope.
The knight in shining armor will not come over the hill. We have to take this into our own hands right now. And, Roger, I feel your passion, and I feel your anger, and I feel your love for your country. It oozes out of you, buddy. And, at this point, said there's millions of us that are absolutely devastated over the results of what we see going on here right now in America. If Kamala Harris becomes prime or president of that country and she's allowed to have power in that country for a couple of years, Roger, I don't know if there will be a United States of America in 4 years. Regardless, there will never be a fair election system ever allowed to take place in America again, that you will have Democrats from now to eternity. The same thing that's happening in Canada right now with Trudeau setting in mail-in ballots and everything else that he's doing to set up the next election so he can be a majority forever and ever and ever. If we don't stand up to this now, folks, we are going to lose it all. And whether America has four more years, Roger, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. But based on what I'm seeing right now and the acceleration, and I know what she's going to do if she ever gets power, man, who's going to be her vice president, Roger? Maybe Nancy Pelosi, perhaps? Can you imagine those two running the United States?
Well, somebody. Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, well, those two running the country. Can you imagine? Go ahead, friend.
I have to say something before this ends, okay? And I have to go to the top of the hour. Let's talk about 1776. And for all of you Canadians, you probably, most of you do know, but for the ones that don't, that was the year we decided to step up and say, you know what, we need our independence. I'm going to go back to 1776, and I'm going to walk around the neighborhood. And I'm going to listen to people talking in the square, because they used to have what was called town criers.
Right.
They would go to the square, ring a bell, and tell the news. Okay, and people would gather and they would discuss this news. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go all the way back to 1776, just before the revolution started. And I'm going to listen to what these people are saying. And I'm going to tell you that what they are saying about tyranny, about not having a word, about things being imposed upon them instead of being asked of them, so on and so forth. And I'm going to tell you that the conversations that I'm listening to sound eerily familiar. Familiar with what? Familiar with things we're talking about today. Know the technology. Take it out. I'm talking about the examples of. I'm talking about the path to. It ended in a revolution. I'm seriously hoping that doesn't happen in North America. But if it does, it will be very, very quick. Right now, Americans are waking up at a historical rate. I'll be 67 in August, so I'm not quite 67. I'm 66 years old.
You're 66. You're the same age as me, buddy.
I know that, but you're older than me. If you look around at what's going on, if you look around at what people are saying and what people are doing, I have never seen so many awake Americans. The biggest negative fallout to all of the crap they've been pulling is that Americans may be steeped in ignorance because we've been force-fed it for 70 years now, but we're not stupid. And we are. When I say we, I'm talking about America as a whole. We are starting to see exactly what's going on behind door number three. We're seeing it. And it's up to people like me and Barry and Steve and other people to open those doors or pull those curtains back so people can see it. America is waking up at a pace I never expected to see in my lifetime. That's a good thing. Because what most people don't understand is the power and the resolve in America when we decide we've had enough. When the emperor asks his war hero, okay, Admiral Yamamoto, to attack the west coast of the United States, Hirohito, okay, Yamamoto looks at him and says, I'm sorry, my emperor, I can't do that. And a big gasp went out across the entire freaking room. It was like, you don't say no to the emperor. And when the emperor asked him to explain himself, and you've all heard this line before, he said, my emperor, if I was to invade America, there would be an American with a rifle behind every blade of grass. If we're heading to this point, it isn't going to last long, but it will be bloody. Do I expect we're going to see that? I really don't think so at this point. But if things continue down the path that most Americans can't tolerate, it may be inevitable. And when I say inevitable, the inevitability will be due to the fact that the government, who is at this point our enemy, has looked at everything and said, this is the perfect time and place for a false flag, in which case you will see civil war break out across the entire country.
Well, Barry, you wouldn't believe it, buddy. Our time is up again. You wouldn't believe it, would you? That hour went very quickly, my friend. I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute. Last minute, can you share with people where they can find you real quick? And we'll take the Duracells out of you for now and put them back in a couple weeks and hope to get you back, and we'll carry on with this conversation.
Yeah, right. I don't do anything when I'm not on your show.
Oh, but
it is the Liberty Beacon Project, and the flagship website is thelibertybeacon.com. And when you go there, right up at the top, you'll see a banner with four other websites. You can click on that banner and go to any one of those websites. These sites are set up for one reason and one reason only: to give you the truth. And we don't pussyfoot around at all.
Roger, good to have you in, buddy, as always. Folks, please follow Roger's work and go look at his articles. He's always got good stuff up. Thanks, Roger. And we'll hopefully have you back again in a couple weeks.
Seems all right, you guys have a great afternoon, and thanks again, Barry.
Okay, Roger, thank you. Okay, folks, I'll be back in 3 minutes. I'm going to take a bathroom break, and I'll be back with Jürgen Wallraff. Hang around. He's full of piss and vinegar.